Lawrence Prospera is a community-driven, nonprofit organization committed to our mission of strengthening the individuals and families of Lawrence, Massachusetts through the development of thriving neighborhoods. CISU presents Hola, Honest Opinions with the Lawrence Attitude.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Representative Frank Moran? This is Ms. Rivera.
How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Very happy to have you here on the phone. So I know that you're a very busy individual. So without further ado, let's get right into these questions.
Sure.
So I understand that you used to coach the Little League baseball team here in Lawrence with Ruff Carrero. What's your favorite story that you can share with us from your coaching days?
One of my favorite stories was teaching the kids the fundamentals of the game and teach them how to become good teammates, learn some discipline from the game, and also just seeing Ruff yelling at kids for no reason.
And those are very important lessons in life, you know, that once you learn, the sooner the better. All of them that you just mentioned, especially disciplined, that's very good to hear.
Absolutely. I coached baseball league for 12 years, literally. You know, my son did baseball, my daughter did softball, and I volunteered for both. It helped me spend more time with them.
Excellent. That's killing two birds at the same time. You get to teach the kids something and also spend time with the family as well.
Absolutely. It did.
Now, the other question I have, so when did your family move to Lawrence? If you can share a little bit about that. And also, where is your family from?
My family moved to Lawrence in 1978. I was 8 years old. So I've been in the city for quite a long time, I would say. True Laurentian, lifelong resident of this great city that I love. You know, my family is from Santiago, Dominican Republic. Most of our stories, our family came to Lawrence or to the U.S. for a better future for their kids and to provide good opportunity to succeed in life. And I want to thank them for doing that, for sacrificing themselves.
Yes, well paid off. Absolutely. And, you know, from 1978 till 2021, I don't think that story has changed for many, many families migrating here from other countries as well. And I can also share the same with my family as well. We came here for a better life. So I can relate with what you're saying about what are the struggles that you faced when you first arrived here, if you can remember?
Yeah, it's the similar struggles that most people do. The language barrier was tough back then. It's a little better now because back then there wasn't that many Latino family in the community. There was not that many offices where you can go and get help and speak your own language. And I mean, that was very struggle. There was only five or six families in our neighborhood. Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really tough to transition from Spanish to English so quick. It was really tough. My dad was an accountant in the Dominican Republic. My mom was a nurse. So when they came here, they didn't know how to speak the language. So they ended up working in the mills.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they ended up working in the mills.
That must have been a big change in their life.
Oh, that was it's like night and day for them. We all used to live all cramped in one apartment where some of our uncles. So it was a lot of us living in one apartment. I remember back, me and my two siblings with my parents and my uncles and my grandmother when she was alive. We all lived in one apartment, and every single one of them worked at the mills. It was a struggle, but we were happy. We were really happy that we were in this country that gave us a great opportunity to succeed.
I'm happy to hear that because that's the most important thing that, you know, you guys took advantage of the sacrifice and were able to survive, you know, as a whole family.
Absolutely. But that teaches you a lot in life, right? It teaches you how not to take for granted the little things. I mean, you just got to go out there and just plug away. Don't expect anything to be given to you. You got to go out there and get it. You know, that's what I saw in my household. I saw my parents worked hard every day. Not looking for nothing to be handed out to them. They just went out and worked really hard to make sure that they put food on the table and send it to school. And, you know, we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, and I think that you're the product of that, you know, of their sacrifice. It paid off very well, as I know, with your success. So what schools did you attend, if you can share a little bit about?
Absolutely. When I came from the Dominican Republic, I went to the Tarbox. Then after the Tarbox, I went to the Oliver. From the Oliver, I went to Greater Lawrence Technical School. From there, as you know, Greater Lawrence Technical School has what is called a co-op program, which if you're a good student, they'll depends on what shop you take. You know, you get partner up with a company, depends on what you take. I took electronics back in the days, back in the 80s. The high-tech industry was booming, and to me, I found that very, you know, I was one of these, I would say I was a different type of kid, I would say, right? Because I love the high-tech, and you know, I love the software, I love dealing with computers. And at the same time, I had passion for real estate for some reason. I don't ask me how, you know, as a teenager, don't ask me how. I really don't know how that happened. As a sophomore in high school, as a sophomore in high school, I was reading books how to buy foreclosure properties. Imagine that.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So
diverse. You were diverse.
I know. I bought my first home when I was 19 years old.
That's amazing.
Think about that. Admired. So when I went to Greater Lawrence Tech, and because of my grades, I was able to work with this company called Digital Equipment Corporation. I'm not sure if you're old enough to remember that company. Digital Equipment Corporation.
Might not be.
Digital Equipment Corporation was like IBM. You heard of IBM?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So IBM and Digital Equipment Corporation were the biggest company in the world when it came to computers. So they hired me out of high school. So I used to go to school 1 week, and the next week I used to go to work for Digital.
I like that.
Yeah. That's how the Greater Lawrence Technical School works. So you go to school for 1 week, but that's only junior year.
And it all depends on how much effort you put in and how much work.
Correct. Most kids, nowadays, 90% of the kids go on co-op. So I was able to work with this high-tech company that I thought I was going to retire from because, you know, working for this company, making so much money at that age while I was in high school. You know, once I graduated high school, they kept me to work for them, and they sent me to college. They sent me to the University of Lowell.
Wow, that's excellent.
And I was there for a little while. As I was there, you know, I became a manager for the company. The company promoted me, became a production manager for the company. And, you know, I used to manage 160 people, 3-shift operation. That was in my 20s. And I was making some good amount of money. So I had engineers working for me in the areas where I was in charge of. And I saw the salaries they were making. And mind you, that's what I was going to school for, at ULO, for engineering.
Yes.
So it got to a point where I was like, I want to be an engineer. I know what they make. And they're boss. Right. I don't want to do that because I make more money than them. Why I want to be an engineer then if I make more? I mean, back in the days, I used to look at things like, what's my return on my investment? Mm-hmm. Am I going to invest X amount of money for school? How am I going to get my money back? And how long is it going to take me to pay all these loans? You know, the good thing was that Digital paid for most of the schooling. So in my junior year, I decided, you know, I said, oh, you know what? I really don't want to be an engineer. I'm just going to drop out and continue my career with Digital. I'm doing really well, making all sorts of money. I don't want to be an engineer because I make 20 grand more than what they make. So why do that job? And that was my whole school experience.
Now, that helps me understand a little bit as to why you're currently sponsoring a bill to expand the capacities of technical schools. Can you tell us a little bit about why is this important to you?
Absolutely. Vocational education holds a dear place in my heart. You know, in the years that I attended the school are some of my most cherished memories that I had. You know, as a student, I was able to have the best of both worlds. I learned the traditional academic sense while also being equipped with the skill set to excel in the high-tech world. And it helped me get a job with Digital. You know, it is because of this upbringing that I filed this legislation to expand the opportunities that I was given to all students for generations to come. This legislation, right? This legislation is going to create what is called a new capital infrastructure and investment tools within the Massachusetts School Building Authority to finance equitable access to public education, industry-related workforce education, and economic development infrastructure. So what that's going to do is it will help support greater access to career and technical education program, as well as career and technical education regional school, especially cities like myself, you know, like the city of Lawrence, all the gateway cities across the state of Massachusetts. But especially it's going to help the city of Lawrence. It's the reason why I filed this bill.
I love it. And I think in the world that we live in today, it's much needed, you know, just to prepare our youth or our community members to be able to face the workforce with some form of experience and also have the ability to have the academic setting as well as the work trade setting to combine.
Absolutely.
I think it will help them eventually. You know, I think it's a great bill that you're working on.
Oh, absolutely. I get calls from parents every year asking me to help them get their kids into the Greater Lawrence Technical School. There's so much capacity that the school has. And
Exactly.
Not to their full capacity. They can't accept any more kids because the schools can only hold so many students. So I would love to, you know, to make this. This is the reason why I filed this bill, to allow the schools to expand.
Yes.
And try to have more seats. I saw how important this is for our community, especially communities like Gateway Cities, communities like Lawrence, Holyoke, Springfield, communities like that, that will benefit, our kids will benefit from. I mean, these days, one of these jobs make more money than an attorney. They really could pay jobs. And why not expose our kids to that? Education is key, no matter which way you look at it. You know, I have two kids. They both graduated college. One graduated from University of South Carolina, and the other one graduated from Bentley. I believe in education, but, you know, sometimes some of our kids don't want it. You know, that's not everything in the world, right? Because we sell college on nothing. No, mm-hmm. That's not the truth. There's other careers out there that doesn't require a college degree that will help you succeed in life too. So we want to make sure that the kids that don't want to go to college have at least an option to be successful.
Yeah, other opportunities available to them.
Absolutely.
I'm with you on that. I think it's a very important cause that you're working on, and I admire that.
Appreciate
it. What are some of the main issues that you see now affecting Lawrence that you have advocated for, both locally and statewide, some of the issues affecting the youth?
I mean, the city of Lawrence, it's one of the most vulnerable cities in the Commonwealth. And I believe it is extremely important to stand up for issues that create positive changes within our communities and to help strengthen our residents, right? You know, I had the privilege of working on all types of different legislation related to education, healthcare, gun violence prevention, housing, and even assisting constituents with their issues, different type of issues that they're facing on a daily basis. One of my biggest priorities, that I'm working this session is a document number H-1299, House Docket 1299, an act to reduce racial and ethnic health disparity through commercial rate equity for safety net hospitals. You know, in short, this bill will bring an additional funding to our local hospitals in our city, Lawrence General, and the Holy Family. This bill will ensure that our residents have access to a hospital that is close by, that is capable of providing great services, just like the hospitals in Boston. That's one of the bills that I'm working on this session. We cannot allow this hospital to close. As we know, this hospital is one of the largest sources of employment in the city of Lawrence.
Oh, yes.
And we need to make sure that it doesn't close. We cannot allow that in a city like Lawrence to allow Lawrence General to close. So this bill is going to help us get more funding into these community hospitals that are competing against these big giant hospitals from Boston. The other bill that I'm working on is the House Docket H-1434, which is an act to prevent COVID-19 evictions and foreclosures.
Okay.
And it promotes equitable housing recovery. This bill is going to help a lot of families who are facing housing insecurity due to their financial hardships during the pandemic. And it also protects tenants from eviction and ensures that landlords are sharing necessary resources for assistance with their tenants. What this bill does is want to make sure that the landlord doesn't evict the tenant without going after the resources that are available to them first before they can start an eviction process. So this is going to help people stay in their homes. And I'm working really hard to make sure this bill passes, to make sure that the landlords keep their homes and the tenant stays in their home.
Oh, wow. That's well needed now, especially with all the raising prices on rent and the cost of living in general. You know, it's
absolutely
much needed.
And the other one, Bill, that I'm working on in this session too, that is one of my priorities, is House Docket 4192, which is an act to stop mass shooting. You know, this bill is going to ban manufacturing for, you know, building assault-style weapon in the state of Massachusetts. As you know, assault weapons in Massachusetts are illegal, but we still have manufacturing that makes them. We make them, and we still sell it to everywhere else. It's illegal in Massachusetts to have a machine gun in your possession, but we're allowed to build it and sell it to other states.
Wow. I mean,
yeah. So my bill would stop these companies from building this type of assault weapons in the state of Massachusetts. This bill saves lives.
Sure does.
You should not have kids and people out there have better weapons than the law enforcement.
Yes, that's what's scary about it.
It is very scary.
It's scary when you have individuals to be able to carry a war weapon, you know, a weapon that usually is used at the battlefields. That's a scary thing to have.
Absolutely. And the other thing I do too is, you talked about the youth, you know, the CISU Center is one of the places where I care about a lot. You know, Ralph Guerrero and I, about 6-7 years ago, were sitting in a car at the charter school talking about how can we open a youth center that can provide these great services to our youth in our community and give them a second chance in life. I had this organization that used to knock on my door. I'm not sure if you ever heard of ROCA from Boston.
Yes, yes. And UTEC. They also have in Chelsea too, right?
Yes, yes. ROCA and UTEC used to knock on my door at the State House about 7 years ago to talk about what they do in their cities and towns. And I was like, wow, why can't we have something like this in the city of Lawrence? So I reached out to Ralph, talked about doing something like this. Lo and behold, the CISU Center opened. We worked really hard to have that center open. Today, the CISU Center is a very successful place for a lot of our youth. It helps a bunch of our kids in them. So proud of what goes on in that place that on a yearly basis to make sure that there's funding for the CISU Center, direct earmark. This year so far, I was able to secure $250,000 for the CISU Center, $50,000 in the budget. And also $200,000 about 2 weeks ago in the ARPA funding bill. It's going to help increase the services to our kids in the CISU Center. I love what happens there, and I will continue supporting the CISU for years to come. I believe in what they do there.
You know, you and I both, and actually that was going to be one of my questions, why getting funding for CISU Center was important to you, but you jumped ahead, and that's excellent.
Oh, sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm so proud of the CISU Center, what it stands for and what you guys do there. It's just, I brag about the CISU Center all the time. And I know Ralph and Paul, they're doing the best they can in there. And I will continue supporting.
Well, thank you so much. Concluded our interview. And I am so grateful that you were able to join us. And hopefully you will stop by again.
Absolutely. That Ralph or Paul can reach out to my office. And I mean, I was one of the ones when we first broke ground, painting and moving things around when it was just the warehouse.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. And I'm sending you much luck with all the bills that you're working on. We're very grateful and we're blessed to have you as our representative. And we'll keep in touch.
I appreciate it. Take care. Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lawrence Prospera and is recorded in the multimedia room at the CISU Center. Nuria Rivera is our host and Paul Thompson, our engineer and director, with assistance provided by young adults at the CISU Center. Technical support provided by Tony Schumann. Our producer is Paul Heithaus. Executive producers are Jay Bartosik, Ralph Guerrero, and the Lawrence Prospera Board of Directors. Thanks to the generous support of the City of Lawrence, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, and the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Thank you to the New Balance Foundation, the Filene's Foundation, the United Way, the Nordson Foundation, and the Essex County Community Foundation. And a big thank you and shout out to the Maximus Foundation. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, a very special thanks to our guest for sharing their stories with us today.